Hey, Token CEO listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Do you still smoke Hoons? Do you exercise?
Do I exercise? I walk a lot.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like to walk. I haven't been going to the gym in a few years.
Do you walk because you live in New York City now, or did you walk in Boston?
I walked in Boston. I walked in China. I've always been like, yeah.
You're a walker.
There's a place I have to go that I can get to within a half-hour walk, I'll be like, you know what? I'll just
do the walk.
Yeah. And then it's like I don't have to belong to a gym because I'm just
Do you think you're going to be like active. One of those old – like I look at people who want to go for a walk in the winter, and I'm like, why the fuck do you want to go for a walk? But you're one of those people.
Yeah. No, I like it'll be I'll need a place to be going. I won't just go for a walk just for the walk.
Oh, you have to have a destination.
Yeah.
All right. But I like that.
Yeah. New York's a great place to walk.
It really is. Okay. Mm-hmm. So on that note, this is the Token CEO podcast. It is Thursday, June 10th. This is episode 161. We have the Wanton Don with us.
Hey, how are you?
We are presented by Sports Research. The good people at Sports Research would prefer things other than walking, I think, but that's all right.
I jog.
Okay.
I jog sometimes. Yeah.
How often?
Haven't jogged in a while, but okay. Maybe.
Far? Not far.
I would jog maybe 3 miles.
That's
three or
a
four
lot.
Miles. Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you feel like jogging and or walking or you want collagen, do you take collagen? Do you take vitamins? You don't seem to
I don't
like
take
a
collagen.
Okay.
Should I be taking collagen?
I don't know. I think so. It's good for your cells.
Okay.
Are you a vitamin guy? That isn't code for like weed, like for real vitamins.
Yeah, yes, no. When someone has vitamins, I'll take them. So
okay.
My girlfriend has some and every once in a while I'll take hers. I hope they're not like feminine vitamins.
Like you will grow boobs from it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
sometimes I take a men's vitamin just to like fuck with the system. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Maybe I'll get more testosterone. Fine. Okay. Yeah. All right. So Sports Research makes vitamins. They make all sorts of workout products. They have an at-home workout kit that you might be interested in. Doesn't get you to a destination, but gets you better like glutes and abs.
Okay.
If you go to sportsresearch.com. Yeah. Everyone can use glutes and abs.
Yes.
Glutes and abs are a good thing. If you go to sportsresearch.com and use code NRC, you can get a free stick of Sweet Sweat. Sweet Sweat, Donnie, is a stick that you like rub on your troubled areas and it makes you sweat. So if you like to sweat, it helps you do that.
Nice.
Comes in great smelling flavors. Or you can go to sportsresearch.com and use code TOKEN and get 30% off your order. All right. So Donnie, how long have you been here?
Think about 4 years.
Yeah,
maybe
I
now.
Think so. Wild.
Yeah.
Explain what you do here at Barstool Sports.
I call myself their foreign correspondent. Obviously, with the pandemic, people haven't been traveling as much. So I was living out in China and just filming videos around Asia, around the world. And when the pandemic hit, I was back home for New Year's. And that's when like all the borders closed. So I couldn't go back to China, which is where I had my apartment. So eventually ended up just moving to New York and I've kind of been working in the office full time.
Do you like it?
I do like it. And the fact is like I can still live in New York and do travel content. So this past January I did a 2-week trip to Colombia and then put out a Barstool Abroad series from that.
Yep.
It was weird how like I didn't even get to say goodbye to China. Just all of a sudden it was like you can't go back, so we had to like have all of our stuff in the apartment shipped over here.
Did it make it back?
Most of it. Yeah.
Do you think you'll go back?
I would love to go back and visit and like, you know, say my official goodbyes and maybe film some more content there. The winter Olympics are gonna be in China this coming February, So I would love to be boots on the ground.
Is this the RA pitch? This is going to be better than the RA pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about the RA pitch? RA was like, hey, can I have a vacation and go drink in Ireland?
Yes. Well, it's funny you bring up Rear Ad, because I mentioned that to him, that the Winter Olympics are in China. And he was like, I'd go with you. I could be the hockey guy.
Fucking anywhere.
Because
yeah.
The NHL, I think, is actually participating in the Olympics this year. So he was like, I could be the hockey guy, and I would be the guy just like helping him translate.
I love
stuff.
That. Remember your last Olympics?
That was awesome.
That was epic. You were really great.
Yeah.
So I think you came to Barstool similar to the way a lot of people come to Barstool, which is that I will get approximately a 6-minute phone call from David Portnoy, who's like, hey, this guy, really funny. I think we should hire him. And then there would be like some corresponding text message or email. And then the next thing I know, you're here. So tell a little bit about how you got to us, because I remember when we first talked about you.
So after college, a friend I went to college with convinced me to move to China. And he knew how to film. So I wasn't doing this as my full-time job, but we were just making.
What was your day job?
My first year, I was teaching
full-time.
And then I worked in like a wide range of things. We had this events company where we were doing parties around Shanghai.
Okay.
I worked at this one Chinese company kind of as their token white guy.
Okay.
Where they just like,
they're like, we need a white
guy
around here.
You can do research, but then they would have certain meetings and stuff, and they would just like bring me to the meetings to sit there and be like, look, we have a white guy.
Kind of really good.
Yeah. Because they
thought
having a foreigner at the company would make their company see more.
Yep.
International.
I'm familiar with that. Okay.
But I was always just making videos on the side because I enjoyed doing that. I had a friend who could film and help with the editing. And Barstool actually shared like the very first vid that I did. And then over the next 4 or 5 years, they shared probably 5 other vids that I had done. So I was at least on Dave's radar. And then when they did the first season of Barstool Idol, I actually applied to that because David talked about hiring me and we'd be emailing back and forth, but then the emails would just go cold and like, he's a very busy guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, Barstool Idol, that's a good opportunity to actually get in front of him
and
pitch my, like what I could do for the company. So, I showed up.
Were you in the Francis class of
Barstool
Idol? I
was, but Dave didn't make me do the whole competition. So like I showed up, I pitched him a bunch of ideas and he was like, oh, We know you. We know that you know how to make content. You can just start to work here. You don't have to do the whole competition, which was great because the competition is tough.
It's tough. Yeah.
I know. And it's probably, it's hard to kind of like show people your skills in that just like 5 day span.
I had a call with Francis the other day and I forgot about that Barstool Idol. Remember we had it right by the bar and we didn't really know who the judges were. K Marco hosted it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about the Francis cancer thing. Like there was a lot of drama.
It's fun to watch, but I wouldn't want to be involved.
No, it was stressful.
Yeah,
it was stressful.
Very stressful.
Okay. So you show up. So you've been making videos. We're sharing your videos on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Did you fly back from China to go to Idol?
No, at that point I had moved back to the US. I'd been in the US for the past year, but I pitched them that like if I started working for Barstool, I could go back to Shanghai and start making vids for you guys out there. And I rewatched the audition, I guess, pretty recently. And I pitched a bunch of ideas. I'm happy to say that I've actually done all the things that I pitched.
You know what's funny about you is, so for anyone listening to this, you got to go. We call Donnie the Wonton Don or Donnie Does. You're secretly, what I always really liked about you is like, you don't say much. I think you're actually, to me, one of the people who's shyest in person.
Okay.
Roan is a little bit like this. I think you're very shy in person, but you have a big personality on camera.
Yeah.
But you have an incredible work ethic and you also care a great deal about what your content looks like in a way where I would remember we would talk every couple months and you'd be like, okay, I've got this guy, I'm paying him $200 to edit this. I got that guy working overnight to help me. And then I would watch your videos. Like I remember you had one video where you're floating on a raft. Where was that, at the Sevens?
I love floating on rafts. Oh, that was in Hong Kong. When we had those, where we were like pirateering boats and
it
stuff.
It was incredible. And it was like one of the funniest videos that we've done. And I think the idea that, you know, to me, it's kind of like the whole the whole idea of Barstool Sports, which is like you basically take a guy from Massachusetts, drop you over in China, mm-hmm. give you a camera guy, let you make whatever you yes. want. And I think you've just done, you're so quiet about it, but your work is so solidly enjoyed. And like you've just done a really amazing job here.
Thank you. Well, I mean, it's a dream job for me. So it's like it's something I want to do very well because I want to be able to keep on doing it.
Yeah, you're awesome at it. Do you still smoke Hoons?
I don't really that much.
Okay.
So I will if like a fan comes up and he's like, "Hey Donnie, you want to crank a hoon with me?" I'll do it. I'll crank a hoon with him. But yeah, I was on the vape and now I will just like pack a nicotine pouch.
Oh, okay. A lipper? Yeah. Do they call that a lipper or no? That's dip,
a lipper.
Right?
Yeah, a lipper's more like the dip.
Do you dip?
No, it's these new things where it's just like a pouch of nicotine.
It's like so a it's, little like
so there's
laund- it's like
no
a tea
tobacco
pouch.
In it. Okay. Yeah, so there's no tobacco in it, but it just has the nicotine. I assume that.
How many times a day do you do that?
I don't know exactly.
Depends on the day.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm not cranking the hoons. The cranking hoons thing was awesome. We were selling
that
a shirt.
That was awesome. Yeah.
But then I remember there was like on Snapchat, I would have like a 14-year-old being like, "Yo, Donnie, you got me cranking hoons," and I was like, "All right, I'm not trying to get the kids hooked on cigarettes.
I'm trying to get the youth of America yeah. hooked on cigarettes. That's yeah. nice of you, Donnie. Mm-hmm. All right, so now they can just do the nicotine packs now that they are addicted.
Sure, I mean,
walk it down a little bit.
If one of those companies want to sponsor me,
what would you say to like? So you clearly graduated from. Where'd you go to school?
Tufts.
You went to Tufts? No yeah. way. You're a NESCAC guy?
Yes, I am.
The Jumbos.
The Jumbos, yeah.
Did you like it?
Most people probably don't know that.
Yep, Tufts mascot is a Jumbo, only slightly better yeah. than the Colby College white mule.
Yes.
Terrible, terrible.
Did mascot. I love it? I don't think I loved it. Obviously, you have fun in college, but it's like most of what I'm using now in my job are things that I learned outside
in life.
Of college.
Yep.
But obviously it helped with the connections I made. Like if I hadn't have met that one guy at Tufts, I wouldn't have moved to China.
Gone to China.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up in Massachusetts?
On the South Shore.
Okay. Heard of it.
Cohasset. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay. Yeah. Cohasset. What's the Cohasset mascot?
The
are they the Sailors?
Skippers.
Oh, the Skippers. That's even worse.
The Skippers. Yeah.
What would your advice be to like, do you let my brother did the same thing like my brother hightailed it to Asia and never came back.
Okay.
Do you recommend it like starting, you know, you graduate from school, everybody else is working in Boston, they probably have a finance job, blah blah blah, like you're in another part of the country, like talk about that experience in your life.
I mean, I would recommend it to people because like it's a lot harder to do that later in life. Mm-hmm. So before you have fully jumped into like a 9-to-5, you like the time right after college is when you have a year to go and experiment with something else. And so I knew like right after college, I really just didn't know what I wanted to do. So I was like, well, at least if I do this, I'll have a chance to travel and just get a lot of the cool thing about living in Shanghai is that I found when I was there, like I could do private tutoring for 10 hours a week and then work like two other jobs if I wanted to that maybe weren't paying that well, but I could at least gain experience mm-hmm. doing those jobs. And then my 10 hours of tutoring could be paying the bills.
Yep.
Which it's a very tough thing to do if you're in the US working a 9-to-5 and then you're also like working on your passion project.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, it's hard to do both.
Yeah.
How did you cope in a country where you don't speak the language? Like what are the skills you have that help you navigate that?
Not being afraid to ask for help, I guess. I mean, I made some really good friends. Like my first 3 weeks in China, like I asked the teaching company I was working for, I was like, "Can you please make sure I'm living with another foreigner and that I'm living downtown so I can get around and meet people?"
Walk.
And they
yep.
put me in this apartment in like bumblefuck Guangzhou, China, living on my own. So after 3 weeks, I was like, "I gotta go. Like this is not working out." But I made a couple friends. They were from the UK. And they had been in China for 5 years or something. So like they took me under their wing and kind of showed me the ropes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did your perspective on the U.S. change living abroad? Like your perspective on Americans change?
not on America. My perspective of China changed a lot. Because, like, living in America, you mainly only hear about China in the news and stuff. And it's, like, trade wars, like, all this. Like, yeah, they're just this big, scary crunch, big, scary country. But then when you get there and actually meet the Chinese people, they're super friendly.
You love the Chinese people. Did you watch the Olympics? Remember watching the Olympics? And was it Beijing? I guess it was Beijing. And they had the opening night. You know how they have the opening night? I was like, fuck, China is going to take over the world.
Yeah,
remember
that's
the
probably
orchestration?
What they're...
They, I think the Chinese are incredible marketers.
Yes.
They're like,
they
hey,
take
world,
the Olympics
like,
very seriously,
listen
too.
Up. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and they were kind of using that as a platform. And
it was smart.
Yeah.
But you're saying you saw, you met a lot of great people, which is, I think, true of human beings everywhere.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, kind of what I'm saying, there's a, like... I'm sure there are some people in the U.S. upset at China for a bunch of various reasons, but it's like, that's the Chinese government. It's like the people like who live in China that you meet, they have nothing to do with like what their,
are they
their
warm
country's
people?
Government
like,
is
what
doing.
Are, what, how would you describe your typical Chinese person?
Very warm, very hospitable. Let's see. They have like a concept of saving face there. So.
Okay.
Sometimes if like it's sometimes it's hard to get a direct answer from them, like if they think it's gonna if it's not the answer that you don't want to hear, like if they're telling you something that they think that like you won't want to hear, they'll just they won't really tell
they're
you
not gonna come right out at
straight
it.
Up because yep. they're like, oh, like I'll lose face
okay.
if
okay.
I do this. But no, like very hospitable people. I think like a lot of Chinese and Americans would get along. It's mainly the governments that
yep.
don't get
yeah,
along.
Yeah, that fuck everything up.
Yeah.
Okay, so Donnie, we're going to have a moment for New Balance.
Sure, we can
so
do that.
So New Balance supports this podcast, and we are all about embracing the suck. So you kind of mentioned what sucked, which was you're leaving. This was like my freshman year at college. I lived mm-hmm. in like the dorm, like in the middle of nowhere with like
oh,
all
okay,
the hippies.
Yeah.
And then I was like, had to walk 17 miles to the field house. It sucked. Sounds like that was similar. Nobody talked to me. But tell me, give us a story about how you embraced the suck in China. What we love about New Balance is they're all about mental health. They're all about getting out there and doing things. They would love how much you walk. They
yeah.
love the idea of getting to a destination. So give big shout out to New Balance and give us mm-hmm. an example of a story of how you overcame something in China.
Okay. Let's. I'm going to have to think.
You're going
to
think for a second?
A
do you
second.
Want me to keep talking while you do that?
Sure.
Okay.
If you want.
Keep thinking, Donnie. I'm
yeah.
going to look at my notes here.
Let's see.
The before we get to that, let's talk about Terminal 2. You want to do that?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
the Terminal 2 story, according to anybody who watches this on YouTube. So like the six people who watch this on YouTube are like, we want to hear from the Wonton Don about Terminal 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like Terminal B or something.
Oh, Terminal
when
B,
I
sorry.
First started putting out vids in China, like the whole concept was, yeah, you just throw a mass hole in the middle of China. Because like a lot of the mass holes I grew up with. Great guys, but like
would not survive China.
It would not survive China, and like don't even like leaving Massachusetts. They're like, nope. I'm happy here.
Our company is like 1/3 made up of these people.
Yeah, like Jared Carabas wanted to go back to Mass.
Jared Carabas.
He's like, nope. I don't like New York. It's
die
too far.
In the state of Massachusetts. Yep.
So I was like, all right. So how does this random asshole end up in China? We just made up the story that I blacked out at the Legal Seafoods in Terminal
okay,
B.
Okay, I know that.
Yeah.
The new Terminal B. Terminal B. Logan Airport, I think, is gorgeous.
It yeah. is, yes.
It's one of the nicest terminals yeah. I've ever been in.
Yeah, so the story was I drank like 13 Long Island iced teas and woke up in China. I assume most people knew that was a joke. I did have one person hit me up online. He's like, you need a visa to get in China, so your whole backstory is just bullshit. And I'm like, yeah.
You're right.
Good job, detective.
You got me.
Yeah.
You got me. So how did you make it work? So like back to the embrace the suck. Like how did you, we didn't give you a lot of resources. We didn't give you much help.
Yeah.
Like,
I
how
guess.
Did you make that? How'd you scrap it all together?
Yeah. I mean, my first year, once I got the job, I didn't want to turn around and be like, all right, well, can you hire a camera guy too? And, I kind of just learned how to film and do the editing on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I would like being able to just do the job yourself was huge. Cause then you don't have someone to blame if like a video doesn't work out,
yep.
you know? So like,
yep.
And I was used to back when I was just making vids with my friend, he would do the filming and the editing. And this is when we weren't doing it for money. We were just doing it for fun. And sometimes he would show me a video and I'd be like, oh, well, can you change this? Can you change that? And he'd be like, dude, like, I'm doing this for free. Like, no, like, here's the video.
Yeah,
so
you do it if you want.
You
it.
Learn
yeah.
like, all right, well, if you want to have control and like put out, you know, exactly what your vision is, just learning how to do those things mm-hmm. was huge.
That's I think that's probably like what's gotten you around the world. It's like yeah. you just got to figure it out yourself.
Yeah. So I guess like at first it's I could have been like, oh, this really sucks. Like, how am I supposed to do it? But I embraced the suck. I put a shotgun mic that. On a GoPro and I started to going to different events around China and like just learning how to do the editing, and the videos came out well. I mean,
awesome.
Yeah,
they like came out really well.
Yeah. And that's what like a lot of travel vloggers do. It's like, you know, I saw some other people doing it online. I'm like, if they can just do it on their own, then I can figure out how to do it.
So how do we get you to like, are you the Barstool version of like Anthony Bourdain or like
I mean, that's is that high praise. That's probably the easiest way to okay. describe the content. I mean, I'm not going to claim to be the next Anthony Bourdain, at least at the moment. But yeah, I mean, it's like travel, culture, and food. And that's the same sort of thing that he was about.
Yeah.
yeah as
and
well.
What is it do that you think makes like, because I think what's interesting about that type of job or that type of content is, one, you have to assimilate in an environment that's not your own, right? Like mm-hmm. Anthony Bourdain was just such a great guest. Like, you could tell he had such curiosity and enthusiasm for the people who he was meeting. And obviously there was something brilliantly captivating about him. But then you also have to translate it back to the place you came from. So like, how do you do that? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's always come pretty naturally, yep. Naturally to me. I guess what I tell people is my comfort zone is discomfort. So it's like, in a lot of these situations, like, yeah, I might not be the most comfortable, but that's like what I'm used to. Like, having lived in China for so long, I've gotten used to feeling out of place. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, I'm not frazzled by that. I just kind of like embrace it and go with the flow. Mm-hmm. And when you're meeting these people that might seem completely different than you on surface, after traveling long enough, you start to realize that like a lot of humans, no matter where they are on the planet, like are very similar when it comes, like are similar at the core.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And how did you assimilate here? So like, you're also, you know, you were in a foreign land, but now it's just at, you know, 333 7th Avenue. Like, how did you assimilate with our goof troop?
Yeah, I remember it used to be weird walking into the first office we had, because you took the elevator up and it just opened
yeah,
up, and
like,
then you're
bam.
Just boom in the middle of the
yeah.
office. So like your first day walking in, or your first like few weeks walking in, it's a little like,
it's intimidating. It was
yeah,
intimidating.
Nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But then you get to know people, they're all very friendly. And like I started to just do some content with other people, right off the bat. And that helped a lot. Like, once you do a video with one person and it comes out well, you have some other people at the company being like, hey, I'd love to do a video with you at some point.
Who's been your favorite person to make videos with?
Well, I guess what I'm doing now, it's like one of the bigger series I've done is Rediscovering America mm-hmm. with Nick and KB.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been fun, 'cause like Labatt's on board, so we have like a full team. Like, my first year at Barstool, I'm used to just going around and filming myself.
Totally.
Now we're traveling.
I bitched at the salespeople, I think, yeah. for like 2.5 years on like, why can't we sponsor Donnie? Why can't we sponsor
yeah.
Donnie? So congratulations.
Yeah, and it's been
That's
a lot of
awesome.
Fun. So,
so
know,
now
we
you
have
like a camera guy.
Yeah, we have two camera guys.
That's exciting.
And
that
a PA.
A big,
and a production
wow,
assistant.
That must
yeah,
be a
feels,
big ad deal.
Yeah.
Let's go Labatt's. Do you want to give a shout out to Labatt's while we're here?
Shout out Labatt Blue Light.
Okay.
They've actually been one of the best sponsors to work with, because like twice we've made the video and then we have to send it to them, and we're expecting like, oh, they're gonna want us to make all these changes, and like it's gonna take another week just to make those changes. But both times they've looked at the video and be like, yep, it looks good,
great,
you can post it. So
okay, so what's Rediscovering America about? Like, tell people about it.
So it still has the travel theme, but it's kind of like a US based travel show where we're putting out 5 episodes. Each one focuses on a different region of the country, and then we don't try to go to like the most touristy things. Mm-hmm. We try to go to like weird, obscure, off the beaten path places and try to meet like the most unique or
yep.
strangest people
yep.
we can find there.
And what do you think about KV and Nick?
They've been great to work with. So it's like I kind of will have the travel experience, and like most of the time I'm like the wacky weird guy in the videos, and I'm almost playing the straight
now
man.
Now you're the straight guy.
Yeah, which is yep. it's a nice change of pace yep. to play the straight guy.
Do they engage well with strangers? I would think that you would have to be the liaison.
They have been doing pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain situations that we get in that I can tell, like, they definitely don't feel comfortable just because, like, I'm used to just, like, throwing myself in the weirdest mm-hmm. situations as possible. But, no, they're very good when we meet a new person to, like, charm them. And they, like, know, like...
Okay, they make eye contact. Yeah, so, yes. I don't get that.
Yeah, so they're very good. They know, like, when to be weird and, like, when to get on this person's good side so
okay.
that we can have
well,
the sit
good.
Down. Yeah.
Who are you excited about doing something with next?
There's a bunch of people
okay.
there.
You've done stuff with a lot of great
yeah,
people, PFT.
Yeah, there's really like no one at the company where I'm like, oh, I don't want to work with them. It's
okay,
like,
well, that's a good thing.
I'm open to it. I remember after me and PFT did the Hong Kong Sevens video, mm-hmm. which people loved. And it was funny. Like, I put out that vid and I was like, it's a funny video. I don't know how you're going to feel about it.
I loved it.
Okay. Yeah. I know. Cause you sent out, like, I remember you sent something out
to everyone in
the
company.
You're like, please share this. This is top notch content. But then at the same time, I was like talking to my parents and they're like, you need to calm down in these videos. She's like,
you know, these guys are all like trashed and high in the stands.
Yeah.
Like, but it was, I think it was like exactly what you do, which is, I didn't know a whole lot about the Sevens. I only knew about the Sevens from you. And I think what you showcased was this rugby tournament and a whole culture and world. And you showed how wild it is.
Yeah.
And like, I now talk about the Sevens all the time. Like, I think we should make like the Sevens with women's hockey, which maybe you can help me make that because you've actually been there, which I'm not sure that many people want to do, but whatever. But that's exactly, I think, the gift that you have, which is you opened up a new world that no one would know about. And you're like, oh, this looks really fun or really interesting. Or that looks disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's the wildest sporting event I've ever been to. I think it is one of the wildest ones like in the world. And I know before it was canceled, I think because of the pandemic and there were like riots in Hong Kong, I was talking to Jen and she was like, yeah, I think like each year you should go to Hong Kong Sevens and bring like two new.
Yeah, 100%. Introduce new people.
Two
to
other
it.
Coworkers
that'd
there.
We do
and
that.
I was like, that'd be awesome because then you get to work with a wide range of people and
each
person's going to have a completely unique experience there.
Completely. So speaking of PFT, let's talk about the sunglasses.
Yes.
So what's the deal?
So when I think the very first vid that I wore these, I may have had a black eye at the time, so I was just wearing
from
them.
From a fight?
For that reason. I think it was the one fight I got into.
Really? As an adult?
China.
Oh, in China?
Yes.
With who, like a foreigner or with a Chinese person?
It was like I saw some other people fighting, and I was just like, I said something like, hey, like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And then they just like turned their anger on that person to me.
Okay.
But no, so... I think the first
how'd you make out overall?
Not great. Seeing I had the black eye, but I was fine. What you want to do is never get into a fight in a foreign country because no one is going to take your
this
side.
This is the practical advice
Americans
no need.
One is no one is going to take your side.
Okay.
So then I realized at this point I was making the videos for fun. And I thought, you know, hey, if these videos don't work out at some point, I'll probably have to move back to the US and get a real job. So I kind of was just rocking the shades because then it's like people don't exactly know who I am.
Sure.
I get there's like a little bit of
anonymity
separation. Yeah. And that. And so that's why I started rocking them in all the vids. And then once I started working for Barstool, it's like, well, everybody already knows me like as the sunglasses guy.
Mm-hmm.
I might as well keep it up. And it's like I would be fine with starting to phase them out for certain things. Like if I'm just hopping on a podcast, mm-hmm. like wouldn't necessarily have to wear them,
mm-hmm.
but now it's just become a thing. Like people,
expect
when they
you in
think
the
of the wonton don, they think of the shades.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I've kept it up so far.
I like it.
Yeah.
I want to do a show on just people who wear sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Like there's something very, like I was reading about George Michael oddly yesterday and I love George Michael.
Yeah.
Do you like George Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. There's some great George. Do you know who George Michael is?
No. Well, no. He's the guy in Seinfeld?
Nope. No. George, like the singer? Do you know like father figure?
Boy George?
Nope. George Michael. He died tragically. So George Michael.
What does he sing?
Like faith, father figure, right? Come on.
I mean, I've seen the face.
George Michael
would have
is?
I would have to hear a song. I don't know if we're allowed to play his music on the on here. No. So that's like a name. Yeah. Not Boy George.
Not okay. Way bigger than Boy George. But George Michael wore sunglasses in every performance.
Yep. Bono wears shades
Bono,
a lot.
Bono, and it's because he's shy.
Yeah. I think it helps for like some of the, like when I'm in like
it's
a,
like
a really crazy situation and stuff.
Yeah.
That like, I think it does help. Like we filmed a video with Ken Bone and it got very awkward because we released a fly. Because do you remember when there was like a fly on Mike Pence's forehead?
Yes.
During the debates? We went to his house and we were like, we have the fly. Like if you want to meet him. And then the fly got out and he was like, oh no. And KB and Nick were just like, they said it was the most awkward they have felt in their life. And it was awkward for me, but wearing the shades, it's
you felt a little protected on it.
Yeah, and a lot of those situations, you can just pretend like you're not really there.
Yeah, for sure.
Rocking the
shades. Yeah, see, I like that. George Michael did the same. You should listen to his music. Oh, I have an ad read for the Premier Lacrosse League. Do you like Premier Lacrosse?
I do.
I'm obsessed with them.
Nice. I actually played lacrosse in China.
Okay.
In like this men's league. We would just meet once a week.
Okay.
But then I put out a vid before I worked for Barstool where I was coaching Chinese women's lacrosse.
I love that.
Yeah, it was a blast.
That's so cool. All right, so while you look for a George Michael song, I'm going to talk to you about the Premier Lacrosse League. So I am obsessed with the Premier Lacrosse League. These are my people. Paul Rabel, Mike Rabel, they run a fantastic operation. They are one of the only sports leagues that has ever broken through. They've created this whole festival environment. So you've got Chrome, Atlas, Chaos, the Redwoods. You've got the Cannons, I'm rooting for the Cannons, just in case. I was a Redwoods fan because of Miles Jones, but I'm supporting Paul Rabel this year all the way through, number 99. 3 goals on Friday night. I was there. It was incredible. So if you want to watch lacrosse, first of all, people don't know this, but they changed the game, the way they market the game, the way they cover the game, the way they shoot the game, the color of the balls, so that it's a better TV product. Lacrosse is titch tough to watch on TV, but not the Premier Lacrosse League. They're amazing. They played in Boston this past weekend. Awesome.
Were
game.
Fans allowed?
Fans were allowed. 10,000 people went. It was awesome.
Nice.
It was at Gillette. The Crafts just invested, so it's amazing. Was aired on Peacock, so it was on Peacock, and then on NBC Sports, and I think on NBC on Sunday. So if you want to watch the PLL, you can go to NBC to watch the PLL or to Peacock or whatever NBC platform you prefer. The other thing that they're doing is they're traveling city to city all summer. So last season, they had a bubble season. I think they did it in Utah. And now this year they're back out with fans, which is awesome for the players. So if you have a chance, you can tune in and watch the PLL on NBC all summer long. I highly recommend it. I am rooting for the Cannons big time.
I'm a Cannons fan now too.
Let's go. You're from Massachusetts. I mean, it was originally a Boston team.
Mm-hmm. And that was formed. Did they combine two leagues to form this?
Okay. The PLL emerged, and then they merged with the MLL, which is like very rare to have an upstart league kind of merge with the big league.
Yeah.
So they're awesome. I'm a huge, huge fan. I think they're great people. I think it's incredible players, and the sport is fantastic. Like the game, Friday night's game was 11-12. It sucked. We lost.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was probably fun to watch for the fans.
It was really
it
fun
like
to watch
a complete
for the
blowout.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, did you find a George Michael song?
Yeah.
Okay, which one are you going to play?
Careless Whisper?
Careless Whisper.
Oh, so yes.
Okay.
I know this song.
Great.
For sure.
I'm glad to hear it. You want to do another one?
Let's see if I know Faith. This is Faith.
I mean, it's an incredible song, Donnie.
Oh, so you got to have Faith.
Faith,
yes.
Faith.
Yes. I know all these songs.
All right. Well, you just didn't know it was George Michael, probably because he had sunglasses, so you didn't know who it was. All right. So, Donnie, before I let you go, I'm glad we've just covered lacrosse, George Michael, China, being in Boston, being a masshole, the sunglasses, too many Long Island iced teas.
Yeah.
What is your one good thing?
my one good thing.
Yeah, what's something you're fired up about right now?
Is that the borders are starting to open around the world, so I would like to do more travel content.
Go actually be a foreign correspondent.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so speaking of your good thing, Donnie, High Noon is my good thing. They have new tropical flavors out for the summer. Who doesn't love a High Noon?
I love them.
You take a nice walk in New York City, you're like drenched in smog and like trash and whatnot. And you're like, ooh, you know what would be really refreshing right now is a High Noon. So High Noon has a whole bunch of new flavors. You can get it at the supermarket. You can get it at the liquor store, depending where you live. It's 100 calories. It's gluten-free. It's real vodka, seltzer, and real juice. Why wouldn't you want one?
And yeah, I wanted to talk to you about like, because I know some of the sales say that when you're filming content outside of the U.S., they think it's like harder to sell because they're working with like brands based here. Like all we work with brands from the U.S.
Yeah, I think that's bullshit.
Yeah, because I like you can look at the stats. I think probably like 90% of my fans are watching from the U.S.
I think you appeal to an American or let's say North American fan base.
Yes.
So if you're making content in Queens, in Idaho, in Shanghai or
you know,
Amsterdam, I don't think your fans, you're not appealing to the good Dutch people.
Yes. Yeah, I don't have like a huge Chinese fan base.
Not a huge Chinese fan base.
But if you guys
developing,
if you guys are trying to expand,
look, if you
Barstool
like
China, I could find some Chinese fans for you.
We could. I'm sure the Chinese would love us.
Yeah, that's actually hilarious because in China they have on the internet like you can't go to Google, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
They don't want Bitcoin.
They've just banned all these sites. So like the internet in China is very censored. Barstool Sports is not censored.
It's probably like the only place where we're not censored.
So I think I became even more of a fan when I moved out to China because it was like the only thing online that I could do was read Barstool.
I had this moment where I needed money here. So I needed money here. It's probably like 2017. I was trying to figure out like how to grow our revenue. And I met with the Playboy people.
Okay.
And the Playboy people were talking about their licensing business in China, where Playboy is a suit company.
Yes.
So they turned the Playboy brand into something else entirely and have like a multi-million dollar suit business.
Yeah.
In China, just around the bunny logo.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, imagine if you could create like take the Barstool Sports brand and have it be like, I don't know, deodorant in
that
China.
Would be
Wouldn't
huge.
That be amazing? Like,
yeah.
We could do that. But if you're there, then it could actually mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool.
Well, if you ever want to do it,
you're my guy?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
great. I'd be happy to help.
I don't think that any sponsor should not want to be associated with content by virtue of where it's shot. That seems weird. I do think that brands, you know, like Labatt's or High Noon or New Balance or, you know, Sports Research, they care about the audience you're reaching and the context that they're around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's most important. So I appreciate you doing this.
No problem.
Any last tips you want to give people?
No, I guess like when it comes to embracing the suck, like I would say my first year in China kind of sucked, but I just observed all of the funny stuff that was happening around me and like I was like, this could be incredible content, and like, you know, that's kind of what got me the job I have today. So
love that. I think your story is like, you don't have to follow everybody else's path. The second thing is like, you can start, you know, you can be a teacher and make videos at night and then be an internet personality. Like, that's not a crazy path.
I mean, if you learn how to do it yourself, then no one is really stopping you.
Yeah, that's right. Learn how to do it yourself. All right, that's it for today's episode. If you haven't already, you can subscribe to this podcast. You can follow Donnie. How do people follow you?
At the Wonton Don on Instagram and Donnie Does World on Twitter. And my YouTube page is the Wonton Don.
Great. If you want to subscribe to Token, you can follow us at Token CEO. You can follow me at EKA Nardini, and we will see everyone back here on Tuesday. You can follow us also on YouTube. Frankie gets mad when I don't shout out the YouTube. People are going to see you on YouTube with your sunglasses, which is cool.
Yeah.
Not quite as big as the Wonton Don YouTube, but
I'll
illustrious and ever-growing business content.
On my
page.
Oh,
thanks. Yeah. All right. That's great. All right. That's it. Thanks, Donnie.
No problem.
All right. Bye.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.